2018, here we are. I sometimes wonder, you know, I think back to when I was a kid and I would think, the year 2000, how old will I be? Will I still be alive? And I would think, nah, not a chance. And here we are in 2018, and every one of you are still alive. Isn't that something? God be thanked for that. The best is yet to be. You know it? I don't care what kind of health you're in this morning. I don't care where you're hurt. The best is yet to be. And you know what? I'm a pessimist. Did you know I was a pessimist? I am. I'm a pessimist. Are you a pessimist or are you an optimist? How many of you are pessimists? Now tell the truth. I'm going to raise my hand with you. Several of... Are you... No, I don't believe that. I am, though, and I'm ashamed of it, though. I'm a pessimist, and I try not to be, but I am. And I'm so glad that not many of you raised your hand like me, or you're ashamed that you're a pessimist. I'm ashamed that I'm a pessimist. And this lesson is about our overall view of life. And, you know, I knew a guy when I was in high school that was not a pessimist. I'm not going to mention his name because some of you will know him. He was the eternal optimist, and I just didn't understand it at all. He was an optimist to the point of being just flat out goofy. And if you know the little illustration is the glass half full or half empty, and I wasn't that bad a pessimist, but you know, I had the attitude, and I still at times, and I have to check myself. Is it half empty or half full? And you know the little illustration about passing the football. And I tried to find out who first said, when you pass the football, three things can happen and two of them are bad. And I could not find who originally said it. Some attributed it to one coach, Woody Hayes, or different ones, you know. And that is one of the things I could not find on the internet. Who originally said that? Larry might know. You don't know either, Larry? I don't know. And I could not find who originally said that. But when you pass the football, Jerry knows.
Darnell.
Who?
Darnell.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to research that after church today. All right. Okay. But, you know, you're smarter than Google. And I'm not surprised that Jerry is smarter than Google. At least in that regard. Because I Googled that and I could not find it. They attribute it to different ones. When you pass the football, three things can happen. Two of them are bad. Because I wanted to know what happens. And I mean, when I wanted to know who originally said that. But you know, after Christmas, it's January, and you kind of tend to be a little bit down. So that's the reason for this lesson. I don't know how you look at life, but I find that if I try to look at things the way the Bible looks at things, that the best is yet to be, it helps me. It helps change my attitude sometimes. And I'm not necessarily saying that the Bible makes you into an optimist, but I don't care what kind of shape you're in this morning. I don't care if your knees hurt. I don't care if your arthritis is bothering you. I don't care what kind of shape you're in. If you look at things the way the Bible tells you to look at things, you are going to have the outlook on life, the best is yet to come. Hope still exists. Being optimistic about the future is certainly better than looking back at the way things were. And you know, I have a hard time with that because, you know, at times I feel pretty good in the past. I don't always feel so good today. I don't hear good. I don't see good. I don't run near as good as I used to. In fact, I try to avoid running because my knees swell up and feels like bones grinding on bone and stuff like that. This view, though, gives us a reason for being happy in a sin-sick world. And the world is full of weird stuff. You know, when you read the news, it doesn't always make you happy, does it? I'm careful about how much news I look at, and I try not to look at it on TV because it really bothers me. I try to read my news, that way I can filter it as to what I want to read. And you know, you read too much even, and you find out Nuclear war is inevitable. We're going to get blown up. And then you realize we're not going to get out of this world alive. And I hate to break that news to you this morning, but you're not going to get out of this world alive physically. And some of you that are young this morning, you may have not considered that before, because you may be thinking that life goes on forever. It doesn't. It doesn't. It may go on for you a lot of years. And I remember at one time, what do your parents always say when you say, "Oh, I wish I was 16 so I could drive. I wish I was 21 so I could be an adult. I wish this," or they say, "Don't wish your life away." Don't they say that? And they say it in that voice that you just, "Oh, I'm so tired of hearing that." You don't really say it like that, but that's what you're thinking. Don't wish your life away. And they also say, and you're going to get tired of hearing this, but inside you're thinking, the years pick up speed, don't they? Your parents say that to you. Don't wish your life away. And you don't want me saying that, because I thought when my parents said that, don't nag me with that. I don't want to hear that. I'm young and I don't want to hear that. But you know what? I hate it when they were right. They were right. And that old saying, you know, they didn't know much when I was 16. I couldn't understand why people that had lived that long could be so ignorant. And as I got older, I realized those people weren't as dumb as I thought they were. They had kind of learned a lot. And now, you know, I realize that they were smarter than I thought they were. And goodness, the best is yet to be. You know, even our nation's founding fathers proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence, they talked about the pursuit of happiness was what? An unalienable right. So, chase happiness. But you know, we live in a world that feels like people, they're going to chase happiness at all cost. At all cost. No matter what it takes to get happy. Keith Partridge just died, didn't he? That ain't right. Keith Partridge, of all people. And what did he sing about? Come on, get happy. Remember that? That was just the other day, wasn't it? We were kids. And he took his guitar and he had his mom and all them other little kids, and they got on the bus and we were all just happy. And come on, get happy. Remember? I see some of you smiling. You remember that. Come on, get happy. You remember it. People have taken it for granted. We've got to get happy. They want to be happy, but they don't look for happiness in the right way. And you know what the sermon's about when I mention it that way. Biblical happiness is different than worldly happy. John talks about it. He says in 1 John 2:15, don't love the world and the things that's in the world, because they're fleeting. They rot. They get rust on them. Think about the things of the world and the rust that accumulates. They're fleeting. They pass away quickly. The word lust means desire, and it generally is condemned as inordinate affections. Even if the things that some desire in this world are not sinful, they're temporary. They don't last long. I watch these car shows a lot of times, and I look at the effort and the time and the money these people spend to keep these things looking this pristine condition. That don't just happen by accident. That takes effort. And it takes money. And it takes work. And yeah, they look good. But time is going to cause them to rot. And some of the dealers that had brand new cars, that some of them have not been bought. They've just been parked. And look what time does to them. It turns them into rusty pieces of junk that nobody wants. And, you know, same way with motorcycles. I mean, motorcycles that nobody loves. You know, some people love their animals and their pets and things like that, and I almost think of, you know, these poor motorcycles, nobody loved them. They parked them out there, they rusted, you know, and here they are. They've been neglected. Same way with these old cars that have been parked out there that nobody cared for. So in the end, those that seek happiness in this world, they're like Solomon. They say, all is empty. It's a vanity. It's a striving after wind. Those who seek happiness in serving God, they're truly the happy ones as life comes to an end. There's a story told of a guy that he was lying on his deathbed, and usually as we approach the end of our life, whatever family we have left, tends to accumulate around us. Our friends sometimes show up, and you know, there seems to be an inordinate amount of interest in what we're going to say as we depart, and some people want to know if we're seeing into eternity or just what we're going to say at the last moments of our life. And while waiting for the inevitable, he says to them, "Don't worry about me. The best is yet to be." How can a person say, when they have nothing left in this life, "The best is yet to be"? How can he say that? And the Bible talks about this very thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3-5. And I've got some scripture passages with some of the remaining points, and I'm not going to read them all to you. But I do want to point out 1 Peter 1, 3-5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy He gave us new birth," and we know about the new birth, "and a living hope." And I like that phrase, the living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's a living hope. "Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And I like the fact that it mentions the resurrection of Jesus Christ rather than the fact that He's not still dead. It was through His resurrection from the dead, that is, into an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and it's reserved in heaven for you. And before we read this last verse, let's consider that verse in verse 4. It's an inheritance. That's something we as Christians inherit. And you know, I don't know what your parents were like. I don't know if you inherited anything for them. And you as parents, I see a lot of parents out there, I don't know if you're thinking about what you're going to leave to your children. But you know, the Lord left us a great inheritance. This is the inheritance that really matters. Not how much money you have in the bank, but something that the Lord left to us. It's imperishable. And you know, anymore when you go to the grocery store, you look at the dates on stuff. I worked at Kroger when I was a kid. Did I look at the dates on stuff? Only when the store manager made us. Rotate the stock. I want to just throw it up there on the shelves. When I got married, my wife, look at the dates. She looks at the dates of everything. And you know, it's got, yes, I know. It makes me do it now. I do that. And you know, even when I went in the military, you know, your C ration, the C rations don't come in those little green cans anymore, Larry. Did you know that? They get all this little fancy stuff anymore. They don't have the little green cans with the little P-38s that you open. They have little packets now. Ain't that special? But anyway, used to, the little green cans, they would expire like in the next century. But they still had an expiration date on them, didn't they? Or did they? Am I remembering right? Not sure. They did, I think, if I remember right. Anyway, the new ones do, I think. But they still perished. Have any of you eaten romaine lettuce this week? You're going to die. You are going to die before... Don't let me scare you. But I was watching the news. That stuff's going to kill you. Eating healthy will kill you, I told you. Romaine lettuce, there's recalls on it. People have died in here in Canada. It's my OCD kicking in, I guess. I caught it from Bobby. But anyway, romaine lettuce, there's a recall on that stuff. It's got expiration dates. It's got ptomaine poisoning or something, some kind of poison on it. Listen to the news. We're in big trouble. There have been people died from that. But it's got also expiration dates on it. It's perishable. But you know what? What we inherit from the Lord is imperishable. Stuff is what we inherit from Him is undefiled. Somebody defiled our romaine lettuce. And romaine lettuce is what I always order in my salad if I order salad. Romaine lettuce. Caesar salad. Get the little special Parmesan cheese on there with a Caesar salad, with Caesar dressing. That's the good stuff anyway. And it's unfading. Pictures. If you're old enough to have black and how many of y'all, when you were young, had pictures taken of you that were in black and white? You know, some of the neat stuff now, that you have a picture taken and you can convert it to black and white. And it looks, oh, well, that's a special effect. Really? You can take a color picture of you on your iPhone and convert it to a special effect that's black and white. When I was a kid, that was the only way there was. There was no special effect. That's the way we took pictures. I remember when Bonanza came out in color. I remember the lady down the street, they got a color TV. Me and all the kids on our bicycles, we rode our bicycles up to their house, and we didn't want to let them know we were peeking because I don't even remember their name. They got a color TV. Bonanza came on Sunday night. It was the only show in color. And when we weren't at church on Sunday night, we were going to check out Bonanza in color. There were several of us. We were special spies, you know, and we were going to check out Bonanza in color. We snuck up to their house. We crawled through the front yard. They had some shrubs right there. We crawled through the shrubs and we up to the picture window, and we were spying in the front door, the front picture window, at Bonanza in color. They had no idea we were there because we were spies. And we saw Bonanza in color. And somehow, something gave us away. And they asked us if we'd like to come in and see Bonanza in color. And there was like four or five of us kids. They caught us. And you know what I said when they asked us if, and the rest of us, if we'd like to come in and see Bonanza in color? You know what I said? That's what I said. And you know what the rest of the guys said? And she was such a nice lady. She had this little white dog who was all fluffy and everything. And she said, come on, it's okay. And that's when people, you know, went over to people's house and no, there was not any of this other stuff. And we walked into the living room and sat down on the floor. And this is how we watched the rest of Bonanza. It was in color. And black and white pictures, what we did. And there, it was unfading. And you know those pictures that we took? We had a camera that was made out of a box. And that was my first camera. It was a Brownie or something like that. And the pictures we took, you had to take them somewhere and got them back, and they were in black and white. And those pictures are faded now. And they're... But what we get from the Lord is unfading. I love that verse. And you know, when you that's another advantage of living for a while. That stuff is unfading, and you have stuff to relate it to. And you know what? It's reserved in heaven. And it ain't like the airlines who double book you. You get on the airlines, and you got a ticket, and somebody else gets on the airplane, and they got a ticket. And you have a fist fight to see who wins. And then you're on YouTube, and then you have to sue the airlines. Remember? Well, yeah, I saw that on the internet, so it has to be so. But even though you have a reservation, you ain't going to get to the gate and say, whoop, you know what, we double-booked, you're out. It's reserved for you. Look at verse 5. Who by God's power are protected through faith. For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That's good stuff. I read that verse and that's the kind of stuff I think about it. And I love it. I love it. It's good stuff. He understood how and why he had lived his life. Like Paul, he had committed his soul to God for safekeeping. He knew his experience, his life. Good and bad were only temporary, so he used his time prepared for the better life to come. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. What a great verse. You know, I read this to you a lot, don't I? 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. I read that verse to y'all a lot. One more time. Therefore, we do not despair. But the world, you know what? The full world is full of desperation. Why? They get to be old, and what do they start doing? They're in desperation. They get cancer. They have a heart attack. They realize death is inevitable. They despair. We don't despair. But even if our physical body is wearing away, and you know what? We are not the same person we were 10 years ago. It don't matter if you're 30 years old, you aren't the same person you were at 20, are you? I'm sorry to tell you that. You may have not realized it yet, but that's the truth. Our physical bodies is wearing away. Our inner person is being renewed day by day. Why? Because you're feeding your inner person with the Word. You need to be feeding your inner person and not feeding your outer person so much. Our momentarily light suffering is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, because we are not looking at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, and when what cannot be seen is what? It is eternal. It is eternal. That's what matters. That's what's lasting. We look forward to the future with optimism. One with this view is a blessed person. You know, many simply translate the word blessed as happy. They view this word with human understanding. They think to mean blessed means power, wealth, or sensual pleasure. Others see blessed with a sanctimonious flavor as a technical word of some theology. You know, you bless this person, you bless this or that. I'm out of time and I've got so much more. Oh my goodness. You know, Jesus in the Beatitudes talked about blessed is this person, blessed is that person. You know what that word means? Happy. It means to be happy. And you know what? Very few translations translates the Beatitudes as being happy. You know why? Because they cannot fathom what it means, what Jesus said, is happy is this person. They don't understand it. You know what we would like to do? If we heard this Sermon on the Mount, Lord Jesus, please, could we have a seminar on that? I have read the Beatitudes over and over again and read about happy, because I want to be happy. Don't you? You want to be happy? Oh, I do. I do. I've read the Beatitudes. You want me to teach you that? You do. I'm sorry, I don't understand it. I want to ask Jesus to give us a seminar on the Beatitudes. He made it so short and sweet. Very few translations, even though they try to simplify it and put it on our level, they say, happy is this person, happy is this person. They mention all these traits. And the reason they don't translate it as happy is because I don't think they understand it. I know I don't. I don't understand. Happy is this person who mourns. Why are you happy? You're mourning. We need a seminar on that from the Lord. And I don't think that these translations do it, because they don't understand it either. Maybe we can study and talk about that. John in Revelations announced a blessing on people. And that's, again, this is happy. Well, I'm not going to read all these verses. But I didn't realize I prepared so much. The one who possesses the spiritual happiness doesn't depend on the changing conditions of the world, because the best is yet to come. His blessings can only be lost if he changes his mind toward God, because it's protected by his faith. The blessed man knows the best is yet to come because he is an eternal optimist. This lesson, what have I told you before? The lessons I generally prepare are generally the ones I need the most. And I told you at the beginning, I tend to be a pessimist. This lesson is mainly for me. And I went over during the time for me. So how does the optimist know the best he's yet to be? Because he places his trust in the Lord. He's faithful. The faithful God will sustain those who trust Him. Let me go back one. Psalm 37 was what I was looking for. Read Psalm 37 when you have a chance. It's excellent. Such optimism will make your life better. Why? Because the Christian knows the things that the world does not. You know things that the world does not know. Did you know that? The optimistic Christian knows that when this physical body returns to the dust after death, you're going to get a better body. Did you know it? You're going to get a better body. That's great. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 is the scripture passage that talks about that. For we know, it doesn't say we hope, we guess, we suppose, it says we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The best is yet to be. My goodness. Maybe we can revisit this. Those things are protected by what? By faith. By faith. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, the lesson's yours. So we stand and sing.